Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Lord Krishna begged pardon from His parents for their, Krishna and Balaram's, inability to serve their feet due to being away from home because of great fear of Kamsa. He said, O Mother, O Father, please excuse us for this inability. All this behavior of the Lord gives me pain at heart. Purport. It appears that Lord Krishna and Baladev were both very greatly afraid of Kamsa, and therefore they had to hide themselves. But if Lord Krishna and Baladev are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how is it possible that they were afraid of Kamsa? Is there any contradiction in such statements? Vasudev, due to his great appreciation for Krishna, wanted to give him protection. He never thought that Krishna was the Supreme Lord and could protect himself. He thought of Krishna as his son. Because Vasudev was a great devotee of the Lord, he did not like to think that Krishna might be killed like his other children. Morally, Vasudev was bound to deliver Krishna to the hands of Kamsa because he had promised to turn over all his children. But out of great love for Krishna, he broke his promise, and the Lord was very pleased with Vasudev for his transcendental mentality. He did not want to disturb the intense affection of Vasudev, and thus he agreed to be carried by his father to the house of Nanda and Yashoda. And just to test the intense love of Vasudev, Lord Krishna fell down in the waters of the Yamuna while his father was crossing the river. Vasudev became mad after his child as he tried to recover him in the midst of the rising river. These are all glorified pastimes of the Lord, and there is no contradiction in such manifestations. Since Krishna is the Supreme Lord, he was never afraid of Kamsa, but to please his father he agreed to be so. And the most brilliant part of his supreme character was that he begged pardon from his parents for being unable to serve their feet while absent from home because of fear of Kamsa. The Lord, whose lotus feet are worshipped by demigods like Brahma and Shiva, wanted to worship the feet of Vasudev. Such instruction by the Lord to the world is quite appropriate. Even if one is the Supreme Lord, one must serve his parents. A son is indebted to his parents in so many ways, and it is the duty of the son to serve his parents, however great the son may be. Indirectly, Krishna wanted to teach the atheists who do not accept the supreme fatherhood of God, and they may learn from this action how much the supreme father has to be respected. Uddhava was simply struck with wonder by such glorious behavior of the Lord, and he was very sorry that he was unable to go with him. Read the verse again. Dunoti cheta smadato mamaitad yadaha padava bivandya pitraho tatambakam saduru shankitanam prasidatam no krita nishkritinam. Lord Krishna begged pardon from his parents for their, Krishna's and Balaram's, inability to serve their feet due to being away from home because of great fear of Kamsa. He said, O Mother, O Father, please excuse us for this inability. All this behavior of the Lord gives me pain at heart. Om Gyanet Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sadigoda Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, in preparing for this class, I was reading through this chapter, and there are so many very beautiful verses in this chapter. Actually, when Vidura approaches Uddhava and asks him about the Lord, then Uddhava becomes immersed in ecstasy, just remembering Krishna. And if you read through the verses of this chapter, you'll see how Uddhava is just relishing different pastimes of the Lord and lamenting that he is not able to see Krishna now. So it's a very deep chapter. Uddhava is just absorbed in love of God, basically, and he's just talking about Krishna, and he talks about Krishna's different pastimes in and outside of Vrindavan. And in this verse, he's just absorbed thinking how wonderful Krishna is, how amazing Krishna is. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he acts in a way that he is subordinate to his devotees. He serves his devotees, and he reciprocates with his devotees' love. This is already quite an advanced topic. We're only in the third canto here, but we're hearing how Krishna is totally subordinate to his devotees and how he becomes subordinate to prema. Actually, that's what he becomes subordinate to. If we're on nishta or asakti or anatta nivritti, then Krishna doesn't become fully subservient, or he doesn't become subservient to his devotees. He reciprocates with his devotees. But if one attains prema, then he becomes subservient to his devotees, and he becomes their servant. So, and that's already an advanced enough topic, but when you read the purport of Srila Prabhupada, there's many, many different topics that Srila Prabhupada talks about in here. If you go away after this class and just spend 20 minutes and just read the purport, even without the verse, there's so many different parts to it, there's so many different aspects to it, and just to understand it requires sitting down for a while and reading through it and seeing what the different themes are that Srila Prabhupada brings up. But we'll try to fluff that out a little bit and examine that. So similarly to Queen Kunti's statements in the first canto, Uddhava is saying that it is bewildering how Krishna acts. Do we know Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He's unconquerable. What's the word for that in Sanskrit? Ajita. Krishna is ajita, so he's not conquered by anybody. He's independent. I was just reading with my son a couple of nights ago before he went to bed the fight between Lord Shiva and Lord Krishna when Shiva takes the side of Banasura, and Shiva's using different weapons to attack Krishna. He uses the Shiva Jwara, which is so hot. Anybody remember how hot it is? It's a bit obscure. It's 12 times hotter than the sun. So at the time of destruction of the universe, then the sun becomes 12 times hotter. And that is the Shiva Jwara. That's one of Shiva's weapons, because he's in charge of the annihilation of the universe, right? So he throws that weapon at Krishna. It's actually personified. It's a person. And Krishna uses the weapon, Krishna Jwara, which is very cold, and it freezes that Shiva Jwara, and he turns to Shiva for shelter, and Shiva can't do anything, so he has to turn to Krishna, and he offers prayers to Krishna, and Krishna protects him. So Krishna is ajita. Nobody can defeat Krishna. Even Shiva can't defeat Krishna. But here it's saying in the verse, what is it saying? It's saying that Lord Krishna begged pardon from his parents for their inability to serve their feet. Why couldn't they serve their feet? Anybody remember from the verse? Why couldn't Krishna and Balaram serve Vasudeva and Devaki? Yeah, that's right. So because they were in Vrindavan, they couldn't be with Vasudeva and Devaki. And why had they gone to Vrindavan according to this? Because they were afraid of Kamsa. So that's the first point that Prabhupada makes in the purport, that if Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how can he be afraid of Kamsa? So why is that? How is Krishna afraid of Kamsa, or is he not? Is he running away from Kamsa to go to Vrindavan? What do you think? He's not? So why is he... Not why is he going to Vrindavan, why is he saying this to Vasudeva? He's saying, oh mother, oh father, please excuse us for this inability. Why didn't he just say, I went to Vrindavan because it's better there. I can experience the love of the Brajavasis as opposed to the love of the Mathuravasis or the Dwarkavasis. Why didn't he say that? He plays the role. They're in the parental relationship. Yeah. Yeah. So who is it that's dictating how that relationship works? No. Who? Vasudeva, right? Krishna is reciprocating with Vasudeva. It says here that Vasudeva is thinking of Krishna. Vasudeva, due to his great appreciation for Krishna, wanted to give him protection. So Krishna is thinking, and Vasudeva is thinking like that. And it says here, he did not want to disturb the intense affection of Vasudeva, and thus he agreed to be carried by his father to the house of Nanda and Yashoda. So because Vasudeva has prema, he doesn't have raja prema, but he has prema mixed with some aishwarya, with some mood of opulence, some mood of understanding that Krishna is the supreme, although these things come and go, it's quite difficult to understand. When do Krishna's associates understand that he's God, and when do they not understand that he's God? Even the gopis sometimes, they say that Krishna is God. Prabhupada says here that Vasudeva doesn't know that Krishna is God, but when Krishna appeared, when he was born, then he manifested a form, right, as four-armed Narayan, as well as the baby being there. So Vasudeva and Devaki saw that, they understood this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But then he covered them again with the Yogamaya so that they could reciprocate with him. So Vasudeva is not understanding. Matiji, can you turn the sound off? That telephone would be great. Just turn the sound off, otherwise the sound will still do things when you, even if you put it away. Then, because they're thinking that Krishna is their son and Krishna is dependent, then Krishna acts like he's dependent and he acts like their son. So Krishna's not afraid of Kamsa. Kamsa is just a tiny part and parcel of Krishna. He's Krishna's energy. He's Krishna's servant. He's a devotee, actually, originally, although he's covered by the modes of material nature and he's acting like a demon. So how could Krishna be afraid of Kamsa? But he's reciprocating with the mood of Vasudeva so as not to disturb Vasudeva's relationship with him, because Krishna enjoys that relationship. Krishna enjoys that sweetness and that involvement in that kind of relationship. Krishna is extremely humble. We see that in different instances, that it's not just that Krishna is meeting Vasudeva and Devaki here, but he's not just saying, oh, he's so happy to see them and he loves them, but he's humbly begging their forgiveness for not being able to be with them. So Krishna is extremely humble, and it's very sweet when we see different instances of that in Krishna's pastimes. Does anybody remember what role Krishna played at the Rajasuya Yagya? He washed the feet of all of the people that were coming to the Yagya. So, and they weren't all pure devotees. There were many different kings, probably inimical kings as well. We know that Shishupal was there. So, people were arriving for the, it's like Rajasuya Yagya, and Krishna was washing everybody's feet. Inconceivable to think of, right? We'd have to be pretty humble to do that. I'd rather give Bhagavatam class or lead a kirtan. If somebody says, you know, can anybody wash the floor today? I may not, you know, volunteer for that. Or, you know, do you want to go and wash the pots? Like we see Krishnanampuru, right, washing the pots every Sunday morning. It's hard work. Washing people's feet. Somebody say, would you like to wash the guests' feet on the Sunday when they come? Would we volunteer? I'd rather go on book distribution, or, you know, I'd rather have a day off. And that's just us. What to speak of, you know, if that was the temple president's service, or if that was the GBC's service, what to speak of if it's the Supreme Personality of Godhead's service? Krishna voluntarily does this. He performs these humble services, and that's why he expects us also to be humble. If Krishna is being humble, and he thinks that's a good quality, then should we be trying to cultivate that? Yeah, then we should be following in Krishna's footsteps. Also with Srimati Radharani, we see in different pastimes that those of you who are married will be able to relate to this, that it's Radha who gets angry in different situations. It's not Krishna who gets angry. Krishna may do different things that makes Radharani angry, but it's not him who gets angry. And when Radharani gets angry, what does Krishna do? Does he walk out? Does he throw things around? Does he tell her, you should be submissive? That's the Vedic thing, you know, the women are supposed to be submissive. Krishna doesn't say that to Radharani. Krishna takes the humble mood, just like here, Napariyaham. So this is a book by Shivaram Swami, many of you know. Krishna is here surrounded by the gopis and he's apologizing, he's being humble. So Krishna is very humble, although we may think in comparison to Lord Chaitanya, Krishna is quite strict. He is strict, but still he's very, very humble. So what to speak of us trying to develop that quality. So Krishna is apologizing to Vasudeva and Devaki, and he's saying, I'm so sorry that I haven't been able to be with you due to my fear of Kamsa. So there's many things we could speak about here, but we don't have enough time. What are other examples that you think of Krishna becoming subservient to his prema bhaktas? Any ideas? There's lots of examples out there. Yeah, like we just had Kartik. So in Kartik month, we're celebrating the pastime where Krishna is being bound by Mother Yashoda. So this quite, if you look at it in today's context, it would be quite controversial, right? I would definitely get an email from the Gurukul if they'd heard that I'd been tying up any of my children or, you know, threatening them with a stick, tying them up outside and leaving them to punish them. Mother Yashoda tied up Krishna to punish him. And Krishna is allowing Mother Yashoda to do that. Although it was a bit of a struggle, right? He didn't let her do it at first. She had to work pretty hard to be able to tie up Krishna. But when she showed that she was fully dedicated to doing this and she was taking it seriously as her service to Krishna, to discipline Krishna, then Krishna acquiesced and he allowed her to tie him up. There are very, very beautiful verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita in the Adi Leela. I've quoted these before, but they're very sweet. And this one is very nice, describing Mother Yashoda's love. Matamore pucha bhave kade na bandana, atihi na gyane kade lala na palana. So the translation is, Mother sometimes binds me as her son. She nourishes and protects me, thinking me utterly helpless. And the nice thing about these verses is the Bengali is so easy to understand, much simpler than the Sanskrit. So it goes, Mata More. What do you think Mata means? Mother. Mata More? More, can you guess? My, that's right. Mata More, my mother. Putra Bhave. Putra means son, and Bhave means emotion and mood. So my mother, Mata More, Putra Bhave, in the mood that I'm her son. Matamore putra bhave karena bandana. Karena bandana. Does anybody know what karena would mean? What? Hand. It does mean that with karatelas, right? Kara, tala, hand rhythm, it means. So it's related to hands because what do we do with our hands? We do lots of things with our hands. We do things with our hands. So karena means doing things. Karena bandana, we know that one. Binding, yeah. Matamore putra bhave karena bandana. My mother, in the mood of me being her son, karena bandana. Literally it means does tying me up. She does tying me up. She ties me up. Thinking of me as her son, she ties me up. Atihi na gyane. Hina, anybody know what that means? Here it says, it could be related, it means very poor, like kind of weak. Ati, my wife is called Ati Sundari, so I know what that means. It's very, Ati means very, like Ati Rata, right? Very strong warrior, very powerful warrior. Atihi na gyane, we know what that means. Means knowledge. So atihi na gyane means with that knowledge that I'm very weak. So thinking that I'm very weak, lalana palana. This is like sounds very sweet, doesn't it? Lalana palana. Lalana means nourishing. And palana. Any ideas? protecting, it says, yeah. So in the knowledge, thinking, in the mood that I'm very weak and I'm very dependent, she nourishes me and she protects me. So that's the mood of Mother Yashoda. It's very sweet, isn't it? Mata more putra bhave karana bandana atihi nagyane kare lalana palana. Again, kare, she does nourishing and protecting, that's what she does. So that's the mood of Mother Yashoda, thinking that Krishna is dependent, thinking that Krishna is weak, thinking that Krishna is going to expire without her, he can't survive without her, then she looks after him. And this pastime of Damodar tying up Krishna is her mood to nourish Krishna, to protect Krishna, to discipline Krishna. She thinks that if Krishna carries on acting like this, Krishna carries on stealing things, breaking things, he's not going to grow up to be a responsible individual, so I have to discipline him. And Krishna accepts that discipline and is bound by Mother Yashoda, so he becomes subservient to her. Yeah, any other pastimes where Krishna becomes subservient to his devotees? I've heard it's Nanda Maharaj's wooden slippers, right? Yeah, so Krishna is performing a very humble service. He's just carrying his father's wooden paduka on his head. Yeah, that's right. The gopis of Vrindavan would also tell the elder gopi, well, older than Krishna, at that time they would tell Krishna to dance and they would clap and Krishna would dance for them when he was little in Vrindavan. Any other examples? Sudama Brahman. So he was serving, he washed Sudama Brahman's feet when he came there. Yeah, actually he served Sudama Brahman in various ways. He reciprocated with him, he gave him lots of opulence. I've heard, I think it's in one of the commentaries of the Acharyas, Antaranga Pru would know, that the reason he gave Sudama Brahman all of this opulence was that he was attached to being poor. He was attached to being renounced. You've heard that as well? So he thought, okay, let's try and get rid of that attachment and you can deal with this as well in my service. Another example of Krishna being subservient to his devotees or serving his devotees is driving Arjuna's chariot, Partasarathi. Very humble service. We have different taxi drivers around here, Uber drivers. I've never ridden in a traditional Vedic chariot or seen one, but supposedly the way you direct it partly is with your feet by kicking the charioteer, right? Like if you want to go left or you want to go right, then you kick them and then they know which way to go. So Krishna was performing that past that service for Arjuna, very humble once again. And there are many, many different examples of how Krishna agrees to accept that subservient mood to his devotees. An important one from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, is during the Rasalila, and that's what this book is about, where Krishna admits that not only is he subservient to his devotees, not only is he serving his devotees in various ways, remember this is only devotees who have prema that can actually make Krishna subservient, but he's actually inferior to them. He is, and he becomes a debtor of his devotees. So when Krishna is performing his pastimes with the gopis in Vrindavan, the quality of love that they have for him, Krishna can't reciprocate. So what does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita that he reciprocates the love of his devotees? How does he say that? Yeah. Yeyatamam papadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. That how we surrender unto him, he reciprocates accordingly. So he says this, as all surrender unto me, I reciprocate accordingly. He's announced it in the Bhagavad Gita for eternity. So if Krishna will always do that. Krishna will always reciprocate however we approach Krishna, just as we're hearing with Vasudeva here. Vasudeva is seeing Krishna as his son, so Krishna is acting as his son. Even though from a tattva, point of view, it's incorrect. Right? He's not afraid of Kamsa. But he's acting like he is afraid of Kamsa, and he's saying that he's afraid of Kamsa. So he's reciprocating with Vasudeva's mood. So Krishna has said that he will reciprocate the love of his devotees. But in Vrindavan, the love of the gopis there, Krishna is unable to reciprocate their love. And there's different reasons why he is unable to reciprocate with them. So when the gopis, when Krishna played his flute, I believe it was at Vamsivat, and he sent that message through the song of the flute to the gopis to come and join him in the forest, then the gopis left their houses, or many of them did, left their babies, left their partners, escaped in the dead of night and went to see Krishna. And who knows what Krishna did when they arrived and they saw Krishna in the forest. What did Krishna say to them? He said, go home. He said, why have you come here? It's the middle of the night. Haven't you got anything else to do? You know, the duty of a housewife is to serve their husband nicely, to keep the house nice and clean, look after their children. What are you doing out here? Why are you being so irresponsible? It's a dangerous forest here, tigers and snakes. You should go home. You shouldn't be here. So that's how Krishna reciprocated with the gopis, who are the perfect example of giving up everything for Krishna, giving up everything for the service of Krishna. And the gopis didn't like that. The gopis became angry. And Krishna had to say, just like in this picture, surrounded by the gopis in Vrindavan, he said, actually, you're right, that I can't reciprocate with your love. And Krishna does these different things to enhance the love of his devotees, just like when he accepted them and they danced the Rasa Leela, and then Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai, and then he disappeared from the Rasa Leela, right? And they didn't know where he'd gone. He'd actually gone away with Radha. And then after some time, then he disappeared from Radha as well, and she was left there by herself. So when they eventually found him, they became so absorbed in ecstasy, so absorbed in love of Krishna, that they began to perform his different pastimes. Some of the gopis were acting like Krishna, picking up Govardhan Hill. Some of them were acting like Krishna, dancing on Kaliya. One of the gopis was acting like Putana, and the other one like Krishna, killing her, sucking out the poison and then killing her. So they became so absorbed in Krishna when he left, that they were going mad in different transcendental madness. And the reason Krishna does these different things is to augment the love of his devotees. So if we think that, where is Krishna in my life, you know? Why do I have to go through these different struggles? Why do I go through these different difficulties? I'm surrendering everything to Krishna and still I don't see him. How many years have I been chanting? You know, maybe brahmacharis here. Given up everything, you know? No bank balance, no, you know, material, nothing. Which is actually quite a risk, you know, in one sense. You know, I was a brahmachari for 8 years and then a full-time devotee in Hungary for 10 years. And then you don't have anything materially. If you have to come out and live a life, then it's a risk and you're surrendering a lot to Krishna. And we may say, you know, I've been chanting for 20, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Where is Krishna? Where is my love for Krishna? But Krishna uses this tactic often of not reciprocating fully with his devotees to help them enhance their love, to keep them eager, to keep them going, to keep them enthusiastic until that point where they have pure love and then he can't hide anymore. Just like this pastime of the gopis in Vrindavan, that they were looking for Krishna and Krishna thought, I'll try something out on the gopis. So he this was at Paita in Vrindavan. So he manifested his form as four-armed Narayan. And when the gopis came, he thought, I'll see how they react to me. You know, I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These are simple village girls. You know, will they worship me? Will they be overwhelmed? Will they, you know, bow down? So when the gopis saw Narayan, who knows this pastime? Who's heard this before? One devotee. Yeah, they come to Narayan, they say, oh, Narayan, they pay obeisances, and they say, have you seen Krishna anywhere? Can you tell us where Krishna is? And he says, yeah, he went that way. So they're not interested in Narayan at all, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Dhruva Maharaj saw Narayan, he was totally transformed. He thought, you know, I wanted a kingdom greater than my father's. What have I been wishing for? Now I see Narayan, and, you know, all of this was just broken glass, and I want to serve you. When the gopis see Narayan, they're just like, you seen Krishna anywhere? So he said, yeah, he's gone that way. So they just carried on. They weren't particularly bothered by seeing Narayan. But then when Radharani came, then Krishna couldn't maintain that form anymore of Narayan. Because her love was so powerful that he's not independent of it. Can we even conceive of this? Krishna is not independent of the love of his devotees. When devotees develop real love for him, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema, then Krishna cannot act independently. He becomes dependent on his devotees, just like then when Radharani came, he couldn't maintain that guise of being Narayan anymore because her love was too powerful. He was subservient to her love. So Krishna acts in that way to enhance the love of his devotees. He hides from his devotees to help them to move on. I remember we take our children to the swimming pool sometimes, not often enough. They need to learn how to swim, but sometimes we take them. And I remember my father taking me to the swimming pool in somewhere in East London, Ilford or Wanstead, somewhere over there. And I was learning to swim. I think I was doing the doggy paddle, just like this, and kicking my feet. And he would be standing there in the swimming pool, and I would do doggy paddle towards him, and then he would go backwards. You know, he'd like step backwards a couple of steps. So even if I'd gone like, you know, 2 feet, I still wasn't at him, and he would keep going backwards, you know, slowly to get me to, you know, get stronger and get better and be more efficient and learn how to swim and be more competent. So Krishna does the same thing with us. He can reveal himself to his devotees anytime he wants. There's different pastimes I know of, and I've heard of, about devotees where Krishna has manifested himself in front of them and has had an amazing effect on their spiritual life. And Krishna wants to do that with us, but he also wants us to become qualified, to come up to the standard. Kripa Siddha is one thing where Krishna just gives his mercy. But one thing, it wouldn't be fair if he just bestowed his mercy upon one devotee and not the other devotee. So he does have standards, he does have rules. But just like my father stepping backwards when I'm swimming, Krishna is doing the same thing with us. But when one has prema, Krishna cannot do that anymore. He can't step backwards anymore. And he admits to the devotees that, napareyaham niravajyasamyujam, that he's not able to reciprocate with his devotees. He's not able to do yayatamampupadyante because their love is too powerful. Why is it that Krishna can't reciprocate the love of the gopis? Anybody know? What are the different aspects of the gopis' love that Krishna can't match? One thing is that the one-pointedness of the gopis' love, that they are totally focused on Krishna, every single one. They're only Ekeha Kurunandana. That's the only thing they want. They just want Krishna. They just want to serve Krishna. They'll give up everything else. They'll give up their children. They'll give up their husbands. They give up their religious duties. They give up their shyness, everything to serve Krishna. And what is Krishna doing? Krishna is maintaining the whole cosmic manifestation. Krishna is the cynosure of all of the devotees' meditations that exist. So he can't have that one-pointed meditation on one person because his attention is bahushaka yanantascha. Krishna's attention is many branched. He's conscious of everything, right? Bhagavatam says the first canto, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, that he's directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations. He's conscious of everything. He can't only be conscious of one gopi, but the gopi can be totally one-pointed in her attention to Krishna, and Krishna can't match that intensity of meditation. So that one-pointedness times by billions, because there's billions of gopis, over a long period of time is a big debt. And Krishna can't repay that debt. The gopis are saying to Krishna, why do you act like you do? And he says, I act like this to enhance your love. And they explain to him, but our love is perfect. Our love is pure. It doesn't need to be enhanced anymore. And Krishna admits, na padeham, that I can't repay you. I can't reciprocate with you for the love that you have for me. So just please forgive me. I'm subservient to you. So that's the nature of Krishna with his devotees. And there are many, many more examples also. Another sweet example is of Jayadev Goswami. So Jayadev Goswami was writing Gita Govinda, very elevated, rasika, transcendental literature. And he came to a particular point where he was writing about interactions between Radha and Krishna, where he was thinking to write. Let's just check the Sanskrit. He wanted to write that during this pastime, his understanding was Krishna bowed down before Srimati Radharani and she put her foot on Krishna's head. So Jayadev Goswami was thinking, this can't be right. Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Krishna is the Supreme Male. He's the Purusha. He's the predominator. How can it be he would bow down to Radha and she would put her foot on his head? So he thinks, I'm going to have a lunch break. Right? Anybody else experience that sometimes? Like you're just a bit too like befuddled. You know, it's like I can't concentrate anymore. I'm going out for a walk. Or I experienced that. Like, I just need a break. So Jayadev Goswami was rewriting Gita Govinda, and then he thought, I'm going to go and have a break. He went down to the Ganges to have a bath. He was going to come back and have lunch. But while he was down at the Ganges, then Jayadev Goswami came to his door and came in and had lunch. Continued his writing and then left a Jayadev Goswami. So then the real Jayadev Goswami came back and said, where's my lunch? So his wife, Padmavati, said, what do you mean? You just had your lunch 5 minutes ago. And he said, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Are you mad? I was down at the Ganges having a bath. I told you I was going to have a bath. He said, well, you came back already and had your lunch. And he said, show me. And she showed him the plate, like nothing left. It's just been eaten from. He thought, this is strange. Goes to his room, look at his Gita Govinda, and he sees that the line that he was going to write, that he was contemplating, has been written already. The Sanskrit is Dehi Pada Palavam Udaram. So Krishna came personally in place of Jayadev Goswami, not just to fill in the Gita Govinda, but to eat his lunch as well, and then left. And so Jayadev Goswami could understand, okay, this is correct. Krishna is subservient to his devotees, to Srimati Radharani, and he does bow down to her to get her mercy. And all of this is very nice, very sweet pastimes of Krishna and very relevant to the verse. We might think, yeah, this is all very nice, but here I am in Watford and I'm going to go back to work after having breakfast and, you know, how is this relevant to me? But Krishna wants to do the same thing with us. Krishna is waiting for us to get to that point where we can also conquer him, where we can also conquer him with our love. It's said that prema is difficult to attain because Krishna becomes subservient to the prema bhaktas. He doesn't give it out cheaply. He gives liberation easily. If you just chant nama bas, then you become liberated from the material energy. But if you attain prema bhakti, Krishna becomes your servant. Krishna becomes subservient to you, although he's ajita, although he's unconquerable. So it's not so easy to do that. It's not so easy to attain prema. Can you imagine if there was some millionaire, some billionaire, some famous person? They might employ you. They might give a donation to charity. You know, if you work with them, if you have a business, they may invest in your business. But for them to get to that point where they'll do whatever you want them to do, you'd have to really prove yourself for that. Prove yourself to be spotless, to be pure, to be competent, to be expert, to be really amazing, for them to really trust you, to just, you know, leave it in your hands, right? Like Sanatan Goswami, he was like that for, who was it for? Nawabhain Hussein Shah. Well, anyway, the governor at that time that, Nawab Hussein Shah, yeah, it was. He'd just leave it in Sanatan's hands, right? He was the prime minister, he would take care of everything, he trusted him. So for Krishna to trust us with him, then you have to become pretty pure, you have to become pretty qualified. And probably the stage that most of us are at now is that we're trying to, you know, develop that. We're trying to get stronger, we're chipping off all the excess. You know, if you're making a statue, you're chipping off the rest of it, all that's not needed, until it's pure, until the love is pure. We're following in the footsteps of these devotees. We're hearing about Arjuna, we're hearing about Uddhava, about Vasudeva and Devaki, we're hearing about the gopis. by hearing about them, we follow in their mood and we become purified as we're performing our devotional service, going through this anatta nivritti, to the point that at one stage we will reach this prema, and then Krishna will reciprocate with us. Okay, thank you for your attention. Does anybody have any questions or comments before we go for breakfast? And the part that Krishna wrote was Dehi Pada. Dehi is Radharani. I didn't understand all the words. Dehi Pada is feet. Palavam, I don't know what that means. Udaram. No, not here. But if you look it up here, I'm sure you'll be able to find it. Dehi Pada Palavam. Udaram, but it means that he'd bow down to Radharani and put her feet on his head. Any other questions or comments? Yeah?
With Uddhava, for example, it's very interesting that.
Yeah.
Is on?
Yeah.
Like, he went to bring the Krishna and Balaram. And then you have a darshan with Vrindavan Krishna, and then when they cross this border, then Vasudeva Krishna. But only when he saw Krishna as a Narayan form within the lake, then he was overwhelmed. This is interesting. That
who, Uddhava?
No, Uddhava, sorry. Akrura, yeah. Then can realize that this supreme, this Aishwarya Bhava was so strong that, although of course he loved Krishna, and then, you know, and he saw him personally, but still this, only when he saw Narayan form within the lake, then he was overwhelmed. It's interesting but how strong Aishwarya Bhava was.
Yeah, like Narada Muni, right? He's aware of all of Krishna's pastimes, but he's a Narayan Bhakta, he's a, you know, Vaikuntha. So wherever you're at, whatever your swarup is, then that is what is good for you. Even if you know, you may know about Krishna, but it's not where you're at.
Lord Brahma also, you know, only when he saw four Narayana forms in all these boys, then he realized, oh, this is my Lord. Brahma Vimohana Lila.
Yeah. You mean he recognized Narayana as opposed to Krishna. But then take birth in Vrindavan as creepers, right? Then he realized, okay, I want to be in Vrindavan.
Change his swarup. That was something like...
I'm not sure, I can't remember about Brahma. It's quite obscure, but yeah, I mean, the Brahma in our current Brahma is a pure devotee. I think there's something about Madhurya Bhav with our Brahma, something from Bhagavatam that he's attracted to that.
Because you came as a Haridasa Kurisi.
Came as what?
Haridas Thakur, is it partially Lord Brahma also?
Haridas Thakur? Yeah.
So then, I guess, by association with that Lila then. Anyway, just
reflecting. Yeah, it's interesting. Did you want to say something, Peru?
I was just curious if there's any other source of confirmation that it was Krishna who wrote that line. Does anyone else ratify or confirm it that it was Krishna?
I don't know. I wasn't there. I haven't engaged in a court case or anything with it that where they've presented evidence for and against it. I'm just hearing that. It's all I know is the authority that you know it happened. I don't have any eyewitnesses at the moment.
Yeah, in a lot of cases, when Krishna does something like this, he's like showered with flowers from the demigods, or someone else will comment on it. So I was just wondering if there was anything like that at all.
I don't know. You'd have to do some research on it. You have to check it out. Okay, thank you very much. We'll finish there. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.